Welcome to another episode of the Jonathan Project Podcast. I'm Colby, and I'm here with my co-host, Jason. Our purpose here is simple, trying to help men navigate the complex times we live in to have a better relationship with those around them. And we take the biblical Jonathan's example of loyalty and faith with his friend and future King David as the inspiration for our podcast. So let's get into today's show. Jason, welcome back to another show. I know you just got back from vacation, and I'm getting ready to head out the door for work. So tell me what's going on.
Man, I absolutely enjoyed, you know, a week of time. We're very thankful as a family that God provided that for us. And of course, today is a big recovery day from vacation because you absolutely need a day of recovery from that, from all the traveling. So, no, man, it's great to be here. It's good to be back. I do want to give a quick shout out to Tyler from last week. You know, last week we talked about where your ministry was. And so I got some feedback. Tyler, and Tyler said that he and his wife work in an emergency department together. And they actually pointed out that they were, their mission field was right there where they work with their family or with their coworkers and with those patients. And they had actually found that being their ministry. So good luck. Good job to Tyler, and appreciate that feedback.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited that the show continues to reach the men that the good Lord wants. I want to give a shout out to my dad and all the men at the men's ministry at Odessa Christian Faith Center. I appreciate their support and tuning in and listening to us every week. So it's good. I think the Lord is using this as a vehicle to reach men and empower them and challenge them to be what he's called them to be, which is those kingdom men, those ambassadors. So, yeah.
Well, you know, as we talked and, you know, as I went on vacation, it was a great long ride. And this is kind of where this tweet kind of ties in. As I'm driving throughout some of the back roads and so forth down towards the Gulf Coast, what I began to notice was you'll see some very rundown. You saw some houses. Some were very beautiful. Some were very dilapidated. But it hit me as I was driving that outside this one house in particular, there was a really nice, very shiny car. But the house was falling apart. And it was about that time I was kind of listening to a sermon on Isaiah 60, and where it talks about exchange the brass for gold. It says, for brass, I'll bring gold, and for iron, I'll bring silver. And it made me stop and think about a psychological concept where Festinger, he had this theory. Right, 1954, that people evaluate themselves by comparison with similar other people. And if others' accomplishments are more than ours, then it actually lowers self-esteem. And when self-esteem is at stake, we have a natural defense mechanism, and it's called downward self-comparison, where we don't seek an objective opinion of ourselves or information, rather we compare ourselves to those less fortunate, less happy, etc. And when people have a setback, it's actually a means to uplift their mood. Now, just bear with me and we'll connect the dots. There is this thing called self-presentation, and it describes the strategies that people use to craft how other people view them. Social media allows people to craft their self-image. And so here's kind of where it's going, to force others into an upward comparison. In other words, they look up to you and position themselves in a downward comparison. So a lot of people will try to position themselves so that others have to look up to. And there's another great article out there called We Are the Secrets We Keep. And when people, we know the truth about ourselves. Right. And when you are constantly forecasting and presenting something that's not true so you feel better about yourself, and you're constantly trying to put others below you, it creates this problem. You know your own truth called cognitive dissonance. And it's incredibly unhealthy. And the Bible speaks a lot about just truth, you know, being humble and being truthful. And all that kind of went through my mind that probably about 60 miles an hour as I was driving down the interstate.
Yeah.
And as we kind of talked.
Well, we have a good message that ties right into that as you're talking about how you're crafting your self-image and how you're thinking about yourself as we get into this week's topic of, you know, kind of reflecting on what God's image is for us as men and the importance of being humble. So I'm interested to hear as you continue to kind of dive into that, Jason. What do you kind of think?
Well, everybody has to figure out, everybody wants to know where they are. We're not static creatures. Yeah. We're absolutely not, right? Nobody ever just sits still. So as we compare ourselves, you have to compare yourself against truth. And as the Jonathan Project and being good friends, we have to look out for one another. As dads, you have to look out for your kids because they get bombarded with social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's what's truth? What's truth? Well, look at this guy. He looks so big and muscular and he's bench pressing all this other, and you have to look at your 13-year-old kid and go, look, let's be candid. You don't see the ends of the weights. You don't know if somebody's helping him. Yeah. You don't know how that guy got there.
Yeah.
I think with guys raising daughters, it's extremely rough. You know, you see Photoshop, you see things like that that present an unrealistic image. And you know, I thought about that. I guess biblically, kind of tying it into it, when you tie this in there in the book of Matthew, you know, people put such a premium on their image, on their self image.
Yeah.
But in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, if any man comes to me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, follow after me. It wasn't about furthering your self image. It was dying to self.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge as a friend. We have to really help our friends safeguard themselves from being caught up in that social media, comparing themselves, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really hard for everyone nowadays, but especially for men, right? Like, I think there's most definitely a movement to redefine men and their image. That goes without saying, you know, from certain factions within, you know, our society in the West and probably around the world for sure, where, you know, men are bombarded with these images of what you're supposed to be. You know, you're supposed to be soft and gentle, and then you're supposed to be hard and protective, and all these different things that men are told out of both sides of their, you know, ears and people's mouths are coming at them. Well, I think it's really important to redefine and understand exactly what God wants you to be, you know, and it starts out back in the Genesis account where in Genesis 1:27, he says, I created man, female and male, and, you know, he created them in their image. So we're created in God's image. That's first and foremost. And when you look at what that really means is you're taking on his characteristics, you know, love, kindness, patience, humility, and righteousness is what the Bible says. And in that, for men's specifically, as we said before, you know, you have a couple roles. One, you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of your house. Two, you're supposed to be a protector. And three, a provider, right? And falling all under the headship of Jesus Christ. And when you fall in line with that, you lose self and you find him. And that's when you find your true purpose. So I think it's important for men to understand that you can't get caught up in what the world says. You need to go back to the source of truth and understand what God has already told you who you are and live out that purpose.
Yeah, that's a great point. Think about what was socially acceptable and what was designed to be at one point, and then look at how it shifted in 20 years, right?
Yeah.
If you're always chasing what society says you should be, it's a moving target. You can't win that race because you can't win against someone else's life.
Yeah.
And I know at one point when our oldest was in seventh or eighth grade or whatever, we took a little detour down to this very famous spot in the Gulf. And it's where all these kids take their picture in front of this big giant hand. And it was well worth the detour because it's my oldest was like, hey, this is where everybody is. Everybody's having such a good time. We go there and it's just a hand. And it's vacant behind it, and it's all this other stuff. And it was a super valuable lesson that just because you see something in a picture, it's not true. It's not always true.
I love it.
An image, we had those, you know, those the self-presentation strategies. I think, you know, as a dad, as a husband, man, you got to be on guard against that. You got to know what's trying to influence your family, and you got to know what your image is, and you got to ground your family's image inside of Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think about something my dad used to say all the time was, is everything that glitters is not gold. And I think that that's a lesson that a lot of men especially have kind of forgotten, you know, and there's consequences when you start pursuing. And I like what you said, chasing, because a lot of what we consider image, right, is not character, but it's the perception of what my character is to others, right? Not my true self. I think we all know guys, I think about, you know, some of the guys that I've come across, you know, in my adult life, and some of them are flat out obsessed with the next thing, right? And you talk to them, you try to encourage them, and it's always this pursuit of more zeros in the bank account, having a certain type of look in clothes or cars or this or that, because the world has said this is what's of value and makes you a man, versus really what makes you a man is, again, your character and how you react and handle. And again, those three kind of categories of how you're leading your family and faith, how you're protecting and how you're providing. And even if you don't have a family, you're still called to those three roles. It doesn't change. You could be providing and protecting where you're at in a corporate space and a small business and making sure that things are happening in an equitable and moral way that reflects Jesus Christ in all areas of your life. And it all falls under that headship. When you start having chasing, as you said, to me, it's ego. And ego is this overinflation of self-importance. I'm so important that I have to portray to complete strangers that I have X amount of zero. I have to pursue and chase and look a certain way because I want the pretty girl across the room to like me, right? And it's just this trap that guys fall into, which ultimately the adversary wants, because then he can destroy you and your life and future generation.
Think of how hollow someone is to have to have, to have to impress strangers, right?
It's sad, yeah.
It is. You know, this is to every guy out there. I was on a trip. If you pass up a junkyard on a highway and you don't call this out to your kid, you're failing. Okay, or you're missing a golden opportunity. Yeah. If you don't have kids, if you don't realize this, inside that junkyard, what made me reflect on it was, as a young man, I had an old muscle car. Yeah. It was great, learned a ton, but I had to work on it to get to school. I worked on it at the school parking lot to get to work, and I worked on it in the work parking lot to get home. It was a constant cycle, right? So I was intimately familiar with all the junkyards. But when you go by a junkyard, if you don't realize this, at some point that was the showroom floor, pristine car. And now it sits there rusting. Yeah. So that's the same thing with all the stuff that you chase. God is eternal. The Bible's eternal. I love your statement when you said everything that glitters is not gold. I thought about when the shields in the temple were stolen. Yeah, Rehoboam, I think it was, he replaced them with bronze, which is more copper and either tin or zinc. I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
But he replaced it with that.
Yeah.
And it shines, but it's not gold.
It's not.
And I think, you know, when we have that poor reflection and we're constantly trying to do this, to understand, I love that statement again, where he says, I'm going to take your brass. And I'm going to replace it with gold. If you take brass is a, you know, it's a component. Like you have to add things to it. But gold is an element. And if your self-perception is totally based upon gold, it'll always be tarnished.
Yeah.
It just will.
That's a good point. Yeah.
There'll always be something out there trying to put you in your place so that they feel better about themselves. But if you think about yourself from God's perspective, he sacrificed his own son for you. And you said it. Oh, man, what was the phrase you said when we talked about marriage? Don't forget, your wife is the daughter of a king.
The daughter of a king. Yeah.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's it.
It helps you slow down and think, right? And you know, I think, not to overcomplicate this for guys, right? We all have an ego. And if you don't think you have an ego, well, that's the first sign that you know that you do have one, right?
Yeah.
And we have to keep that in check. And why? Okay, let's put into the proper context of where you fall. If you decide to follow Jesus Christ, you fall within the kingdom. Jesus is a kingdom. His rules are absolute. There's no debate. There's no like, oh, I kind of feel this way. None of that matters. And so one of the rules of the kingdom for men is that you must submit to his lordship. And lordship means, quite bluntly, quite clear, he is the master, not of some things, but of all things. And so when you fall into the trap of letting your ego get overinflated, right? Because we all have them. We all have to submit that to Christ. But when you let it get overinflated, you start misinterpreting things that are important. The priorities, as we talked about in a previous episode, those balls that you're putting into your rucksack, they start getting out of whack. You start putting the ball in over family time. Well, I need to make this next promotion at work. You start putting in, well, I think that this pretty girl over here likes me a little bit more than she probably should because I need some attention that I'm not getting somewhere. And I'm not trying to poke the bear or trying to make someone feel bad, but I am trying to call you to look in the mirror and understand what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is asking you to do. And you can't lead and you can't be a good leader and you can't change communities and transform lives and generations and change the country, which is dominating so much thought, unless you start with yourself and reflecting and being under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You have to die to self, right?
Yeah.
Humility is just simply put of the dependence on God and valuing others. Those are the rules of the kingdom. Others come first. And there's no clearer example, and I'll wrap this up and turn it back over to you because I'm curious on your thoughts on this, but there's no greater example than Jesus himself. And I want to read this for the men out there. Philippians 2:5-8 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross, the worst kind of death. So there are the rules of the kingdom. It is him above us. It is others before you. That is how you daily die to ego and you become the man that God wants you to be. Go ahead.
I love that. And so in Matthew, when he talks about that, he says, there's two things that made me come up. And you said, zeros in the bank account. And if we're going to be like Christ, let's think about that. When they said, oh, do you have to pay taxes? He had to borrow a coin. He didn't even have a coin. He says,
there you go.
He says, you know, I'm going to get Caesar on that. Yeah, well, that's his. You're in God's image. You belong to God. But when you talked about the rules of the kingdom, and Jesus says, take up your cross and die daily. I love that. Take it up is an actual, it's a verb, right? It's an action, not something that's thrust upon you, but something you choose to do. And you have to die to self.
Yeah.
That's huge. Yet I was walking with my nephew and with my son, and I said, look, men eat last. We were talking about supper. I said, men eat last. And you know, of course, they're young and they're kind of looking. And I go, it's the way it is. As a husband, as a father, you provide. If somebody's going to go hungry, it's you.
Yep.
So stand back and let them eat first. Leaders eat last.
Yes, they do.
That's the truth, right? Don't rush to the table. Give it a minute. And you know, take up that cross. It's a daily task of going, I'm going to put somebody else. Hey, let somebody in front of you in traffic.
Yeah.
That's doesn't cost anything. It's there.
Yeah.
Open the door for somebody. Say something pleasant to someone. You know, as I was kind of reflecting on this and different things, people, especially kids, you know, they reach that certain age where they're so self-conscious of everything. Well, now I've got acne and my hair's out of place and this, that, the other. The truth is everybody's going through so many problems, they don't notice your problems.
Amen. Yeah.
And
we all got something going on.
Yeah, we all got something going on. And if somebody does call out that problem, chances are they feel so bad about themselves, they're trying this thing called deflection, and they're trying to zero in on someone else.
Yeah.
So they actually force that upward, downward reflection dynamic.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
And I think as dads, something always stuck with me in the book of Jeremiah. And it was, and he's talking in there, and he's talking about, it's a distasteful thing where he said they were not buying for the truth. As a kingdom man, you have to be valiant for the truth. And that truth centers inside of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You have to help your family, your friends understand what is an objective, what's the truth.
Yeah.
Right? We're headed in a pathway. And this isn't me, because I think social media has a lot of very positive things. I hope this show is positive.
Yeah.
It's like a hammer, you know? Hey, man, the difference between a serial killer and a carpenter is your conscience. That's the truth. It's the tool.
Yeah, it's the tool. Yeah.
What you do with it, with your hands, that's on you.
Yeah.
But this book, The Saturated Self, listen, I love this. This guy, this Dr. Gergens, warned of an Orwellian world where technology might saturate human beings to the point of multiphrenia, a fragmented version of the self that is pulled in so many directions, the individual would be lost.
Yeah.
That was written in 1991.
Wow.
I think we're about there, right?
Oh, you're right. I'm glad you explained that, because I was going to take those big words as disrespect. But...
I love that phrase. I love that phrase.
I know. I love it. I got that from you. But, you know, you're right. And I think that we are in a new era. And, you know, I we all know where the story is going, you know, when we look at the world from what the Bible tells us. But it should empower us and drive us even more as men, especially to try to reach those around us, to point them towards Jesus and the gospel that he brought. Because you're not going to find it in trying to chase what you see in the mirror and try to make that different, because he made you the way you are for a purpose. And you're not junk. You're not trash. You're not something that maybe someone told you 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago that you didn't matter, didn't have value. And so now you've been on this lifelong pursuit of self-enhancement. No, Jesus made you for a reason and a rhyme and a purpose. And in him, you find the greatest sense of joy in your life, right? Not the pursuit of happiness. Great movie, but not good for life. It should be the pursuit of joy. It should be the pursuit of him. And in him, you find that purpose. So just a couple more little thoughts right here. Like, you know, I think the Bible gives, again, I love the Bible because it gives us broken people and it gives us real people of how God has used them in their time and history. And on this example of not reflecting him, first and foremost, King Saul, you know, the people wanted a king. They rejected the Lord himself, and his disobedience and his constant pursuit of trying to be a people pleaser, trying to be something that he was not called to be, his pride led him to his downfall. King Nebuchadnezzar led to his downfall, where he had lost his mind and, you know, had to be humble because he thought he was the greatest thing on the planet Earth at the time. And then the most famous one that'll come to everyone's mind of reflecting not humbleness and not reflecting the image of God that were made as men is Pharaoh. And the scary thing about that story, and I love you brought this up, Jason, is the fact that you look at the first couple of plagues, it says that, you know, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And then we get this dramatic switch where it's like God hardened his heart. And as a guy out there, if you're chasing and chasing and chasing and you're ego is so big, the Lord will turn you over to your ego. And that is a bad place to be.
Yeah. Romans talks about that in deep detail. This is one of those points where psychology and Christianity, actually, there's tons of those. This is one where it absolutely is a clear overlay of, you know, people begin the pathway and God says, okay, you're all the way down. You're at the bottom of the slide. And I'm going to let that continue to go. Right.
Yep.
No. You know, I think is we talk a lot about the Jonathan Project and how being that biblical Christian friend for one another, right?
Yeah.
I thought a lot about what you had to say and people that are on this pathway where you're not junk and you're not trash. And you are more than the summation of your mistakes.
Absolutely.
You really are. I love the thief on the cross. That dude won the golden ticket, the Willy Wonka golden ticket.
Got in with his coattails smoking.
Yes. Coattails.
He got in smoking.
You won it at the last.
At the last.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And I love that because we are, right? And you talk about failure. So I did my dissertation around Peter. And I love Peter because Peter was a
big, oh, man. He's one of my favorite
guys. Yeah. Right? He pulls the net in of the fish. He's strong, got a strong back. Men shouldn't have six-pack abs. They need to have a strong back.
Yep,
Peter had a strong back. But he denied Jesus. And this,
absolutely.
He denied him three times. One of those examples is when a female calls him out. Now, let's be candid. In that culture, you got punked by the lowest rung on societal ladder.
Oh, yeah.
You got punked.
Yeah.
And so it destroys his ego. Then he goes, the resurrected Savior, it says he beats John in there and he rushes in. I'll tell you why he rushed in. Because it just hit him. Man, I denied the risen Savior.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then later on in the scene, it's a very famous scene, you know, on the shores of Galilee, and Jesus is calls him there for that restoration. There's a little hidden gem in there that says that the apostles were with him on the boat.
Yeah.
And there's that thing of that exchange theory where your peers have an effect on your steadfastness, right? Yeah. And as a Jonathan Project, if you don't think you impact your friends, man, you're missing it. You miss the biblical stories. You miss all the science and everything. Help your friends see what truth is.
Yeah.
And that truth is centered in Jesus Christ. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that example of Peter because Peter had to be humble, right?
Yeah.
And I guess that's all I'll throw in my kind of reflecting nuggets on this episode. Yeah. Peter had to be humble because Peter was brash. Peter was that friend. He was most definitely a killing buddy, right? Pete was the guy you called at 2 a.m. If something was going sideways, Pete's going to show up and he's going to be ready for a misunderstanding.
He had more lightning in his hands than thunder in his mouth. He cut a dude's ear off.
Yeah. Yeah. Peter was ready to go at any moment. But Peter had passion and he had a love for the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants. And I'm sure that's one of the things that the Lord saw in him is, yeah, he needs work like we all do. But Peter really loved him, right? And that's where we need to be. Another good example. There's no other man that comes to mind as far as being humble, because humble is that pill that kills ego.
No.
It really does. It helps you see others. And I think of Moses, because Moses he's called the most humble man that's ever lived. None of us will even come close to that title. And he spoke to God in such a way that he glowed. He reflected the glory and holiness of God himself. Like I can't imagine. But he kept all of that into check. And so another great thing for men to study out is looking at those examples, you know, striving every day to live in a patient, kind way, loving those around you, helping them be better. And that's what the Jonathan Project's all about. So I love it.
You know, Moses, I love that example. And I couldn't help but think as we are entering into the political arena.
Time is
there was a question as to who should be in charge. Remember? And I love this because Moses is still humble. He's still regarded as humble after this event. And he says, okay, God told him, said, okay, put those other folks on the other side of that line that say they ought to be in charge. And the earth opens up and swallows them. And he goes, I guess I really am in charge. He doesn't say that. He doesn't go, I got God's vote. He says, okay, this is it. And he just kind of moves on like he's humble.
Well, it's a pretty defining event. There's not much to say after the earth swallows up everyone that wanted to run off at the mouth. So,
not a lot of ballot discrepancy on that one.
Nope. It's pretty clear where we should probably all fall in line.
Yeah. So, no, humble, you know, that was Jesus' autobiography. He says, I'm meek and I'm lowly.
Man.
And you know, as we take up our cross daily, being humble, I think that's absolutely it. You know, you can't get caught up in that whole pursuit of self. And as a good friend, you can't let your friends get caught up in that mayhem either, right?
No, you want to challenge them, right? You want to, again, be that Jonathan in their life and ask men to be what God is asking them and try to help them. I mean, again, you know, we all have blind spots and we all have an ego. And sometimes you need those buddies and say, hey, you know, you don't need to do the next job. Maybe you need to take a vacation with your family. You don't need to pursue the pretty girl across the room. You need to learn how to be content with what you got, right? So,
yeah,
another great episode. Jason, what would you say is probably the number one or two things that you want men to remember as they ponder this episode come Tuesday morning?
Hey, as you listen to this, you got to have your own identity anchor. It's got to be anchored. I'm going to use that term very specifically. Anchored is tethered in Christ. Mm. Because if you don't have that, you can't help someone else anchor it. You can't be that steady state in the storm. And if you don't think there's a storm, the greatest business out there right now is multimedia, right? Everybody's trying to sell you something. Everyone is trying to give you a better version of yourself for a cost, right? Yep. But Christianity is $3.99, which is my favorite.
That's right. I like that.
It's free. It's free. And that's it. That's what I would tell you. As you fight this, as you help others fight it. You know, so many kids are just lost in that. And it's just heart-wrenching.
Yeah, absolutely. Know? Absolutely. Well, folks, that is another episode of The Jonathan Project. I encourage you to subscribe, follow us at your favorite streaming services for podcasts. That could be Apple, iTunes, Pandora, any place that you can find a good podcast, you're going to find The Great Jonathan Project. I also want you to reach out to us. If you're interested in having me and Jason come out, speak at a men's event, encouraging young men, old men, and everyone in between, we're willing to do it. So you can reach us at thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Again, thejonathanprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Well, that concludes another episode of The Jonathan Project. This episode will drop on Tuesday morning. Again, not Thursday, but Tuesdays. Jason, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, buddy. And I look forward to doing it again soon.
Sounds great. See you, bud.
All right, brother. Talk to you later. We'll be right back.